Hey, it's Aiden Mortensen here with another Castle Country Focus interview. And today in the studio, we are joined by Nathaniel Woodward. Than, always a pleasure to get you here in the studio. Thanks again for taking the time to come talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Aiden. I always like coming in.
And, you know, we're talking about something that's very relevant, very important for us in today's day and age. So back in March, you announced that you were going to be running for Congress at the Carbon County Democratic Convention. Well, now we're here to kind of flip the script on that, suspending your campaign for something that I think is honestly a more noble cause than Congress. So let's talk about it for a second. What kind of led you to this decision to suspend your campaign?
Well, I would say everything's a better, a more noble pursuit than Congress. But you know, I got an up-close look at federal races last year, where I jumped in late to the game with a completely different script, a completely different operating system, essentially, for my campaign. And I overperformed, apparently, compared to what I was supposed to do. You know, a little guy from Price got over 120,000 people to check his name. And say, we put our faith in him. And that was a neat and terrifying experience. And so when I made the decision over the last winter and spring to run again, but this time here in our home district, I did so coming off the, you know, the high of Ashley's Law, of being able to pass that and get that through and secure that legacy for the V. Hill family, the Dixon family. And so it was, you know, a good motivation to do that. And then this summer happened. And as we see, the national political stage hasn't gotten better. And then in light of the most recent events with political violence that's been occurring, both, you know, back in June with the assassination of a Minnesota lawmaker, her husband and their dog, to the countless threats and the bomb threats and the death threats are received by people of all political affiliations, and now leading up to the murder of this conservative influencer, Charlie Kirk. And so taking a good hard look at the situation, I see that I was able to affect change in my community by, you know, rallying us for Ashley V. Hill and getting that law passed while not being an elected person at all. And so mixing all that together, I look at it and said, I don't need to run for office. In fact, I think running for office at this time is going to distract me from the good work and momentum that we've built. And so the decision came is I'm stepping down. I'm not going to be running for Congress here against Dr. Kennedy. And I'm going to be instead refocusing my efforts totally on Ashley V. Hill's legacy. And that is passing more community-based initiatives to help people that are disenfranchised or hurt or otherwise in need.
And as we've entered municipal election season, I've been talking to those running for city council, those running for mayor, and the biggest message that I've kind of gathered from them is that they want to have an impact on the community. That's why they're running. And that goes back to the whole idea of local politics and local change. That's where you're going to see the most impact, is by focusing on the area you live in. You want to make a change, you can do it by focusing on this local area. And I think this is a great way to do it. Because let's look back to your first campaign. That was a very grassroots movement. You didn't do much fundraising, didn't do much campaigning in a traditional sense. You were out there mowing lawns and shoveling driveways. And I think that's what's going to be having the most impact on people as you go into it. If you can establish that, mow our neighbor's driveway, snuffle their yard, whatever you must do there, if you're able to kind of get that influence to them, that's how we can help start bridging some of this divide we see amongst our community.
Exactly. My philosophy going into the last campaign was to show not just other people, but mostly my daughter, who was raising questions about, you know, federal candidates and whether they're good people or have good policies. I wanted to show that you could run a good, what we call a clean campaign, where I didn't have to attack my opponent, who was Celeste Malloy, who is a genuinely remarkably good person. And her sister's the attorney for Southern Utah University. So good family. And so I had nothing to, per se, attack. But then again, you get online and you saw people attacking my character and attacking me. And I think that's funny because they're probably right. But what in reality is they don't know me. They don't know my views. And they think they know my views because they see the letter next to my name. And that's a real sickness we have that most people will acknowledge out loud when they're having conversations. But when you see how they behave, you see how they chat online and they post on social media, it's not true. You know, in light of this recent tragedy here with the passing of Mr. Kirk, we see I saw a lot of people online, prominent people in the area saying, you know, I'm deeply affected by this. He was such a good man, kind of going into how they felt about him and how he came to college campuses to encourage free speech and giving that take and talking about unity and free speech. And then in the same paragraph saying, and he helped us understand or fight against the greatest threat to America, which is the left, which is a joke of a thing to say, because what you're saying is we encourage free speech, but half of the country, literally half of the country, is evil and out to get us and wants to destroy the country, which if you say it out loud in the light of day, you have to realize you sound like a toddler. We are not. Democrats are not the problem. Republicans are not the problem. They're both the problem. The party system right now is the problem. And I saw, at least in my last campaign, that if I went out and I mowed your lawn, or I walked in the parade and threw candy to you and shook your hand and then said, come talk to me in the park afterwards, and they did, the D or that R didn't matter anymore. It was, hey, ask me. I am Nathaniel Woodward. I grew up in a two-union family. I am, they say, pro-coal, which is a really weird phrase. I'm pro my local economy, and I'm pro-reality when it comes to, you know, economic forces. And so it was refreshing for some people, but for others, it just doesn't get through. And so I said, well, that was a slightly effective campaign to run. I didn't want to raise money or do any of that nonsense that is just distracts from the real issues. And I think it made enough of a difference that we're going to start seeing some campaigns maybe focusing on those kind of things as well. And I hope that's maybe the impact I would have had, is we can start changing the narrative for these dang campaigns. Stop sending people money. These federal race people don't need your money. Stop sending it to them. You know who needs your money? Your PTA needs your money desperately. Your local food pantry needs your money. You know, Carbon Caring for Kids needs your money. Don't donate. Don't buy the red hats. Don't buy the blue shirts, whatever it is. Spend that $50 on something here. I just really got tired of the whole system, and I figured I'd try something different. And you brought up the local races, and I will never criticize someone that runs for local office. And that's crazy. You see online all these people, this mayor's terrible, this candidate's terrible. They're not. Everyone that's jumped into these races is amazing. They've stepped up to serve their community. I've had great conversations. I live in Price, so it's Tina Urbanek, Travis Richardson, and Mr. Root.
Yeah.
Richard Root. And I've had conversations with all three, and all three deserve your vote. Too bad you can only vote for two of them. All three are excellent. So I wish we could vote to add an extra council seat, I guess. And so we don't have to devolve into this nonsense that the other side has to be mentally deficient or has to have some kind of issue with their brain. That's not true. We're just neighbors.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing in our local area is, especially on the local level, people want to run for these positions because that's how they think they're going to be able to influence the most change and guide the cities into a direction they think is going to be most beneficial to the city and its residents. And that's what I love about local politics as compared to state and federal. State and federal, that's a bit of a personality show. Local, this is where people are going to have the most influence. Now, as we kind of look at ways to develop this community unity and bridging this partisan divide we find ourselves in, oh so especially lately, what's kind of your plan of attack to help bridge these gaps?
Well, it's going to be what we did over the last year, almost unintentionally, is that we're going to find community issues. We're going to gather the people that are affected by it directly and ask them, how do you think we should solve this? And we're going to evolve beyond common sense. And that's a phrase I loathe when it comes to, you know, people's political views. We're the party of common sense. I've heard both parties say that. It's not true. And it's also not something you should aspire to. You should not aspire to commonality. You should aspire to more, to greatness. You should have critical thinking. You should have, you know, a sharp sense, not common sense, because common sense does fill potholes. We still have potholes. It's not working. So let's elect people who are remarkable, who are going to have ideas that maybe they say them, and we say, hold on, I need a week to think about what you just said. I need to look into it for myself, and then I'll come to a conclusion, instead of immediately jumping down the throat of someone saying, ah, no, I've got a screenshot from a post from someone that says that you're wrong. And so we're going to gather these people who these issues affect directly and go from the bottom up. That's how Ashley's Law happened. We started with the victim and her family. We said, how can we help make you feel that justice may be served here? And then we went from there. So whatever the issues may be, we've got two or three right now. The one that I'm working on primarily is out of San Juan County. I run a free legal clinic down in Moab once a month. And one of the women who came through the domestic violence shelter, her story, like Ashley's story, changed me forever. And these statistics that nearly, you know, they said, you know, 3 out of 4, 4 out of 5 indigenous girls experience violence or sexual violence in their lives, which if you've taken a stats class, that means all of them. That means every single one. And that is unacceptable. And there's a lot of rhetoric about, you know, we want to protect children. We want to take out pedophiles. Well, then do it. Then let's actually go and pass these laws. And so we don't need to take them directly to our politicians. We need to do the work ourselves and then present them with it, because we know they're not going to do the work because they're busy. And they have other things that are good things they do. Senator Hinkins has done many, many good things for this area. And so, you know, I don't want to distract him too much. Plus, the Senate's in kind of a interesting situation with President Adams, or Speaker Adams. I don't know what to call it. President Adams.
He's president, yeah.
And which, you know, a lot of people talked about briefly about his controversy with passing that sex crimes bill, which really chapped me because I spent 13 days on the Hill convincing, there's no other way to put this, convincing Republicans to vote for Ashley's Law. And it shouldn't have taken me 13 days when apparently if I was just the Senate president, I could just get it passed. And his was actually the opposite of what we were trying to do, really. So maybe that's why. So we were identifying local issues and showing that Carbon County, Emory County, you know, the Castle Valley region has that old Union Days power. We just lost the political unity we used to have. And I think we're starting to get it back.
Yeah, you know, you start seeing, you're going to see on social media, regardless, people attacking each other. That's what social media does. It attracts people. When you actually sit down face to face with these people and you can actually sit down and have a conversation with them, that's when you're going to find there still is a lot of civility in the world of politics. And there's a lot more connecting us than there is dividing us. It's just that social media world definitely is having an impact on us. And like Governor Cox said, I'll be the first to say I disagree with a lot of the things he says. But when he said that we need to find an off-ramp, I think that was a very powerful thing to say and a very needed thing in the moment. So I guess looking bigger picture, ultimate goal with this, what do you think would be the best outcome for this new methodology you're taking to building community unity?
I think the ultimate goal, what I hope to achieve from this is, one, to sleep at night. You know, I have a job where I take, you know, clients who meet with me, and they tell me sometimes the most horrific things you'll ever hear. And so at night I go to bed and I go, hey, this, how am I going to actually sleep and live with this? And the answer is, I'm going to get out there. I'm going to try to fix the problem. I've had this phrase I've been saying for a couple of years that just kind of slipped out of me once, is that a lawyer who puts on a suit is a lawyer who's failed. we got to take care of our issues before the courtroom when we're asking, you know, the government, you know, government mom and dad to fix the problem for us. We can fix this problem before that point. And so the ultimate goal is that we develop a community system down here where we see an issue happen. We automatically know how to rally around that person. We get our representatives together and we pass these dang bills that change things for us instead of it popping up on Facebook. And I just happened to have seen it like I did with Paula Dixon and with Ashley's Law. We want to set up just a network that's informal. I don't want a Facebook page for this. I don't want a social media account. I want people to have my cell phone number and me to have yours. And then 10 other people, because I want laws to get passed that I have nothing to do with. And I go, that's great. I really want to take a weekend and enjoy myself. But I'm willing to put in the work. And that's what I came to that realization is I'm stepping back from my political aspirations, which are none. I don't want to ever be elected to anything. And I just want to help. And so I want people to feel like, hey, Nathaniel Woodward is a registered Democrat. In fact, I think my political philosophy falls along the lines of a democratic socialist. I'm not going to apologize for that. And I will debate anyone in person or online over, you know, voice about that. I want them to say, hey, Nathaniel Woodward can help me because he cares about me. And you can walk into my office with a MAGA shirt on and know I'm still there for you. I am a person who is going to help, whether it is in my job, which I don't, you know, there's that one end. But what I mean is in my actual life, I'm here and you don't need to rely on a politician or a political party or a philosophy to guide you to any source other than the fact that I live here and I care.
It's more than politics. It's about the people, and it's more than a job. It's about the people. And not to be cliche, but it's the Michael Jackson song, Man in the Mirror. You know, you want to make the world a better place. Take a look at yourself and make the change. And I think that's what you're aiming to accomplish here. Now, Dan, unfortunately, we are running out of time. But is there anything you want to leave our listeners with?
I think we covered all of it other than, you know, in light of this recent tragedy, I would ask those who happen to have the letter D next to their name, like I do, to have the empathy you wanted people to have for you when you felt this way, when you were grieving, when you felt scared and targeted for your beliefs or who you are or where you're from. Show that kind of love to the people with an R next to their name right now who are hurting, who feel attacked and singled out. And let them know that I will not attack you. I will not single you out. In fact, I will defend you. I will stand up for you, and I am here if you need someone when you're feeling this way. And I think that's the only way we're going to come back full circle to who we are as a people, is saying, I disagree with you, but I know you're hurting. And even though I don't like the person you're hurting over, or I agree with that person being a good person or not, what I do agree with is that I care about you, and you have a safe place to grieve, and I am that safe place. If all the people with an R or a D next to their name can come to that for each other, I think our behavior's gonna chill out a little bit.
I think that's the ultimate goal, is to chill out this temperate political climate. Dan, pleasure to have you in here today. Thanks again for taking the time to come talk to us. We really appreciate it. Again, our guest attorney Nathaniel Woodward talking about the decision to suspend his congressional campaign to focus on building community unity and bridging the partisan divide. And for more Castle Country Focus interviews like this one, you can stay tuned to KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, or you can listen on the Castle Country Radio app. And for the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Aiden Mortensen.